Blog Talk Radio.
Want your clothes to smell freshly washed all day without heavy perfumes? Now they can with Downy Light In-Wash Freshness Boosters. Just pour a capful of these into your washing machine before each load to give your laundry a light scent that lasts longer than detergent alone, with no heavy perfumes or dyes. Finally, a light scent that lasts all day. Downy Light, available in 4 naturally inspired scents.
Talks. So put your money where your mouth is. Be a voice today by donating to Be a Voice. Cash App, $ Be a Voice Tour. That's $ BEAVOICETOUR. Be a Voice Tour. Or donate via Venmo at Be a Voice. If you would like to donate via credit card, you must call the Be a Voice office at 844-642-8378, extension 111. Again, 844-642-8378, extension 111. Be a Voice today. This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. For those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the Text Now app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J. You're now tuned into WBNN News Forum, brought to you by Singularity Time Multimedia, with host and anchor, investigative reporter, Chinchilla J. Hey, everybody. This is your girl, Chinchilla Jonesia, a.k.a. Chinchilla J, the Queen of Justice. Tonight is Sunday, April 9th, 2023, the second Sunday in the fourth month of the year. Tonight on News Forum, meet judicial candidates Joe Green and Kawi Abdul-Rahman. Both men are black and they are both attorneys. And both men are running for judge of the Court of Common Pleas. Find out why they're running tonight right here on News Forum. Also tonight on News Forum, hear from activist and Marine veteran Jamal Johnson at SKU. Stop Killing Us. Jamal will brief us on his seventh and final annual anti-gun violence march to Washington, D.C. He will also give us statistical data on gun violence in America with an emphasis on Philadelphia. Also tonight, hear three wrongful conviction case updates. The case of Herndon Steele, the case of Bishop Kenneth Atkins, and the case of Danielle Patty. All of this and more on Newsworm tonight with your girl, Chinchilla J. And joining me, as always, my dear friend, criminal defense attorney, Caroline Turner, who ironically is also running for judge of the Court of Common Pleas. So, don't you dare go nowhere. Keep it right there. News Forum with your girl, Chinchilla J. We'll be right back after this. The Wrong Coalition and Be a Voice would like to thank sponsor Sound Therapy with Magic Man Peru LLC, offering sound therapy as a form to bring the best instead of the beast out of us. Thank you, Magic Man Peru LLC, for your sponsorship of Be a Voice. Find out how you can also be a sponsor by dialing 844-642-8378 extension 111 to continue the advocacy work to free the wrongfully incarcerated, to end mass incarceration and child life without the possibility of parole. For more information, contact Be a Voice at 844-642-8378 Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. until 7 p.m., extension 111. Be a Voice today. Thank you to my millions of listeners worldwide. News Forum with your girl, Chinchilla J, now has over 22 million listeners. News Forum broadcasts live each and every Sunday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on WBNN. News Forum is brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Chinchilla Jonesia is host and anchor and investigative reporter. If you're listening tonight via the World Wide Web and would like to talk, comment, vent, or ask a question, you must dial 516-453-9133. Again, that number is 516-453-9133. If you're already listening tonight via phone and would like to talk, comment, vent, share a story of injustice or corruption, or ask a question to one of our guests. Please press 1 and you will be placed into the caller queue. Please keep in mind that while Newsworm is a very controversial show with many controversial topics as well as controversial callers and guests, and while we allow freedom of speech for all, we ask that you refrain from using profanity. And also, keep in mind that some of the views of our guests, as well as our hosts, are not always the views of News Forum, WBNN, or Engelsy Time Multimedia. To reach Chinchilla Jonesia after the show, you may call her Monday through Friday at 844-642-8378, extension 888. Again, that number is 844-642-8378, extension 888. Like and follow Ms. Controversy herself, Chinchilla Jonesia, on Facebook, and at Princess Chinchilla on Instagram. Chinchilla has one L. And now, here she is, host and anchor, investigative reporter, Chinchilla Jay.
All right. Hey, everybody. It's your girl, Chinchilla. How are you this evening? And welcome to another segment of News Forum. You know, today is and was, and well, it's still, well, it's nighttime, so the day is still April 9th, and this is the day that so many people around the world celebrate Easter. I don't celebrate it, but, you know, others do. And, you know, it's supposed to be the resurrection day of Christ after he was crucified on what they call Good Friday, which was 2 days ago, well, or they say 3 days ago. So, you know, it's like, okay, he rose on the third day. So Friday was supposed to be the day he died. And today is supposed to be Resurrection Sunday. Don't know why they call it Easter. And people are running around with Easter egg hunts and giving their children bunny rabbits, and marshmallow chicks and what's the other things, chocolate-covered bunnies and all of that stuff. And, you know, I don't know what that has to do with the birth of, with the resurrection of Christ. But maybe you guys do, but that is just hilarious to me. And when I think about, you know, years ago, I used to do that too, Easter egg hunts and all that stuff. And, you know, as Christians, I don't think that should be celebrated that way if it's supposed to be the resurrection of Christ, the day he rose from the dead. It has nothing to do with Easter bunnies and Easter eggs and little chicks, you know. It's a pagan holiday, everybody. You know, a pagan holiday worshiping the fertility goddess and has nothing to do with the resurrection of Christ. And every year, Easter Sunday is on a different day. And they say, well, it depends on, you know, like the, what is it, the equinox or whatever it is, you know. But everything else is the same day. You have the day that Christ was born, that December 25th. It's that same day every year. So whatever the date was that Christ was crucified on that Friday and that he rose on that Sunday, it should be the same date every year, because guess what? It's not going to be a Friday or a Sunday every year, because it's supposed to be on that particular date that the event took place. Okay, so I have a problem with all that stuff. Anyway, that's my rant and rave about Easter and, you know, these bunnies and all that stuff. It's just ridiculous. People go to church once a year, get dressed up in suits and, but I guess, sneakers and sweatsuits, and some people with suits and, you know, their little bonnets. I don't know if they still do all that stuff, but anyway, that's it for my rant and rave on that, everybody. Tonight, we have a very special show in store for you tonight. We're going to be talking with two judicial candidates, two more judicial candidates tonight, everybody. And then we're also going to hear from Jamal tonight and hear about his march this year. And, you know, we're going to talk about this senseless gun violence that is still taking place this weekend. We had so many shootings here in Philadelphia. It's just crazy. And it's ridiculous, and it's happening all over the country. Memphis, Morris shootings. I think there was another shooting today, just a few hours ago, in Memphis, Tennessee. And, you know, it's just crazy. Philadelphia today had shootings early this morning and a few more a few hours ago. And, you know, mass shootings because multiple people were shot. Okay, so this is just ridiculous, people. It's just horrible. Before we get into the show tonight with our guests, I'm going to speak with Caroline for a moment. And then after that, we're going to hear from Bob Marley. So let's talk to Caroline tonight. How are you, Caroline?
Hello, how are you?
I am fine. I am fine.
Sorry.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah. I want to talk to you basically about tonight, just briefly. You know, there's been some controversy, of course. We had talked about abortions and all that stuff when the Supreme Court, you know, overturned Roe versus Wade. And now there's been some new developments in a couple states where, you know, they have not yet banned that pill. You know, they were trying to ban the abortion pill. And so now, so far, it's not banned yet, but they're still pushing to ban the pill. Just briefly, what are your thoughts on that, Caroline, with an abortion pill and with what they're trying to do? They're trying to ban the abortion pill. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think that the abortion pill is safe and that it should be available to anyone who thinks they might need it. I think that it is a good, safe alternative to waiting till later and having abortion. I have no moral objections to the abortion pill.
Okay. All right. And, you know, it's just crazy, you know, and that's a pill that would actually do the same thing as if a woman was to go into a doctor's office or to a hospital and get an abortion. And, you know, we're going to get some other people's thoughts on that, you know, because with that taking place, the people that are anti-abortion people, you know, that's still abortion to them, and it is abortion because it's an abortion pill. So they're really fighting to get that banned, and, you know, a lot of Republicans, of course, are fighting to get that pill banned so that women would not be able to get that pill. And, you know, that I don't know if it's the same pill, but I remember when I was younger, there was a pill out, and it was called the next day pill. Like, you know, if you forgot to take your birth control pill, you take this pill the next day, and that would make sure that you don't get pregnant. So, you know, but, you know, again, to each his own. If people want to do that and have abortions, you know, that's their prerogative. Do I believe in abortions? I don't. But again, my beliefs are my beliefs, and women that do, that's their prerogative and it's their choice because it's their body. I don't agree with abortions because I see it as murder. And there are situations, as we discussed in the times past, Caroline, you know, if a woman is raped, you know, if it's a medically necessary that a woman gets an abortion, by all means. But again, for these girls out here running around with loose legs and open thighs and all that stuff and, you know, and out here having sex, unprotected sex, and they get pregnant and want to go run and have an abortion, you know, stop being promiscuous, stop being little tramps and sluts and whatever else, and, you know, be ladylike and save your body for your husband or for someone that's special to you, because sex is something that's really serious. So keep your legs closed, girls and ladies, okay? Stop having babies after baby because some of y'all just have too many kids and don't have a husband, and every kid has a different father. So, you know, just stop it. And then those of you that have sex and want to go and get an abortion, that's wrong, okay? So for you, I don't feel sorry if you can't get one, okay? Because you need to keep those legs closed. All right, so that's the spill on that. Caroline, how is your campaigning going?
Oh, my campaigning is going well now that I'm over the challenges. I noticed that your two guests that are on tonight, Joe and Quarry, they're actually friends of mine. They're really nice. And they had challenges to deal with, too. Again, it was weeks of stress. Yeah, and we're all through, and they're really good candidates, and I'm really glad they're through it, too. So it's real. It's actually, it's fun being on the trail with, you know, two such good potential judges who are also challenged up the wazoo by their own party.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. And it's such a shame, you know, that so many candidates were challenged. And it was definitely wonderful meeting Joe and Kawi, you know, at Blackbeard's barbershop when we met them last month or February. I think it was that February, but the beginning of March. Wonderful men. And I'm excited to hear from them tonight. And for the listeners, to find out all about them tonight and why they're running for judge. And we're going to be talking with them shortly. Right now, we're going to speak with Valerie tonight, who is the cousin of Danielle Patty. And she is going to give us an update on Danielle. But before I bring her on, I want to talk about the case of Herndon Steele, because Herndon Steele, his wife Tracy has been on News Forum several times, and she's been on Cries of Innocence from behind prison walls. And Herndon, he's been in prison for over three decades, and it's just so ridiculous that he's been in prison this long for a crime that he did not commit. And his attorney that he has is, to me, is a very incompetent attorney. He's just ridiculous. And this attorney took forever to file a habeas corpus. He took forever to file a petition, a PCRA. He took forever to file anything that needed to be filed. And the judge gave him numerous times for continuances, and he still came unprepared. And so finally, he has turned in what needs to be turned in so that Herndon can be exonerated. So let's take a listen to Herndon when I spoke with him the other night. Take a listen, Herndon Steele.
All right. Hey, Herndon, how are you today?
I'm fine, Cecile. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks, and thank you for speaking with me today.
No problem. My pleasure.
Yeah. So finally, Jerry, or Jerome Brown, he finally submitted his petition. Yeah, so that's a good thing. Yeah, so now how are you feeling about that now that he's finally submitted that petition for you, for the judge to look over and for the prosecution to look over?
Well, I'm feeling good about it because it's not just about the actual petition being filed. It's about what's in the petition. And he was able to uncover in my H file that the Commonwealth's only witness testified against me in court. He was shown photos of me, and he was unable to identify me.
Wow.
And the prosecution never turned that exculpatory evidence over to me.
Wow.
And this guy testified in court, as I said, and so had I had that statement, I could have used that easily to impeach this guy and ensure that he was lying, and he was probably told to. More than likely told to say that.
Yeah.
That was me the courtroom.
Right.
Because my appearance didn't change. You know, I mean, he identified me a couple months after I was arrested at my preliminary hearing.
Okay.
Which was in November, but in October when you showed a photo of me, you couldn't identify me.
Wow.
So that's one issue. Then another issue is that the prosecutor in my case, Edward Cameron, they have emails that they confiscated from him to another prosecutor where he was saying that
this is a call from Pennsylvania State Correctional Institution, Mahanoy.
This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
You said they said what? They don't turn over everything to the defense.
We don't. We never turn over everything to the defense.
Wow.
He admitted that he was committing misconduct as a prosecutor. So that just strengthens the fact that, you know, he didn't turn that stuff over to the defense lawyer prior to my trial. And that's a clear-cut Brady issue, constitutional issue.
Yes.
And based on every other case that I've read that had the same type of Brady violation, it always led to exoneration.
Yes, definitely.
Always.
Definitely. Yeah.
And so I'm praying that for that same outcome, and it's looking real good.
Yes.
Extremely well at this point.
Yes, and it is. So y'all can start planning the party because, because that, you know, definitely you're going to be exonerated, and that H file is so important. And it's awesome that there is stuff in there, you know, that proves their corruption and them withholding that evidence, exculpatory evidence that could have kept you out of prison in the first place. And, you know, so, yes, the Brady violation, that Brady rule definitely applies in your case. And, you know, and then, you know, Cameron, he's already corrupt. Okay, he's been corrupt in other cases, and so.
Absolutely. And he was so corrupt that, you know, when Larry Krasner took office, you know, part of his platform, he's not going to seek the death penalty on nobody. Well, that didn't sit too well with Ed Cameron. He was still trying to seek the death penalty.
Right.
Calling people, family members on the phone, and, you know, Krasner removed him from the homicide unit, and the prosecutor's office put him in a tax fraud unit. and shortly thereafter, you know, Ed Cameron passed away.
Right.
Passed away, so.
Yeah. And that's a shame, though, because these, you know, people that are corrupt and putting people in prison wrongfully and all that stuff, and, you know, all these years go by and then some of them die. They don't even get a chance to suffer and be punished under the court of law for what they've done. It's just sickening. Yeah, but he's burning in hell, no doubt. So
right, and you know, and he suffered before because he caught brain cancer.
Yeah, yep, sure did.
So that same brain he used to exercise his corruption, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That brain caught cancer. That brain suffered.
Yeah.
Man.
Wow, that's crazy.
I'm right now to chill and just getting home to my wife and family.
Yes,
you
know, I know that's right. Yep.
My next hearing is in July, and I'm hoping and praying that, you know, this can be expedited before then. But if not, hey, I've been ahead 37 years, a few more months, and you know, hopefully, inshallah, I'll still be there, won't hurt me.
Yeah. Oh, so it's July? What is the date? It's July 10th. Okay, July 10th. Yeah, I'm definitely going to be here.
If I'm contacted and told that the date has changed and it's before then, you definitely know. So you come on down with your cameras. And
okay. Yes, indeed. Yeah. Once the DA's office, you know, now what exactly did DeCarlo say when Jerome turned that in?
But the prosecutor right now, I don't even think he read it yet, but I want to try to say this to you in a roundabout way. It was ran past another prosecutor down there, and everybody's in agreement that, you know, some relief should be coming my way.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Everybody's in agreement that some relief should be coming my way.
Okay.
And so the actual prosecutor that's assigned to my case, It's just no way for him to get around this issue. It's no way.
Okay.
It's in black and white.
Yeah.
So, you know, he would have to, he has to, because if he's on board with it.
Right.
He already said that he don't have a problem with a deal for me. Yeah, but it was above his pay grade. Well, you know, it's a, you know, so.
Yeah. Now, who's the prosecutor?
I'm a PCR right here, Zachary Mattioni.
Okay. Okay, Italian
young guy. So, but you know, he's somebody who was, you know, put in that position and assigned to work my case. So
yeah,
you know,
okay.
He's a subordinate, so he has to do what he's told to do.
Right, right. And now, so Judge DiCarlo, is he going to actually read the H file as well?
What? Is he going to use the H file?
I'm saying, is Judge DiCarlo, is he going to read all of that too, or
no. Okay. Judge, this judge, what he's been doing is whatever the Commonwealth say agree to, he goes with it. He figures that on them to read the H. All he's going to do is read my petition.
Okay.
And once he reads the petition, and he sees the homicide corruption, the coercion of, you know, my son's mom, and this Brady violation, and how corrupt and Cameron was. You know, he's going to be in agreement. In every other case, he has been in agreement with the Commonwealth. Did.
Yes.
And like I said, a Brady violation, you can't disagree with. It's
right. That's right. Yeah.
It's a black and white.
Yeah. And Judge DiCarlo, he's always fair. So that is awesome.
He's a fair judge.
Yes.
Very
fair judge. Yes, he is. Yeah.
I'm looking for that fairness. You know, that come my way. That favor to come my way to chill us.
Yes.
Put this off behind me, and you know, my plan is to speak back to some men I left behind and some women.
Yes, yes, definitely. So now, Akeem, so how's he feeling about all this? Did you tell him?
He's
all right.
He already talked about beating me on a basketball court.
Okay.
He's excited. You know, my whole family's excited. You know what I mean?
That's awesome. That's good.
Yeah,
I'm
looking forward to that day.
Yes. Yes, and I'm so excited and happy for you too, Herndon and Tracy.
I appreciate it.
Yes.
I definitely appreciate it.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
So, Tracy, how are you feeling?
I'm ecstatic. I'm just waiting for this to all be over with. You know.
Yes.
It took a long time. Let's get where we at now.
Yes. Yes, it has. Yes, it has. Yep, but it'll all be behind y'all soon. And
yeah.
Y'all can have a new beginning.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
That's right.
Yep. Yep, yep.
No more business, no more 1 minute left.
Oh, God.
No more 1 minute left on the phone.
Right.
You know, don't touch it in the visitor room. I can touch all day and all night.
Right.
I'm on a podcast. I got to control myself. I'm just excited.
That's okay. I understand. Yes, that is fine. Yes, indeed. So I am super excited. I can't wait.
I'm going to have your vegetarian meal for you.
All right.
Yes, you will.
I can't wait. That's going to be an awesome time. Well, 1 minute left, everybody. So what do you want the listeners to know, Herndon?
I just want the listeners to know that if you got family, as I always say, if you got family ahead, support your family. You know, try to get an attorney to get that H file, because that's where all the corruption has been hidden.
In that H file.
You have to get that H file. So, Philadelphia was notorious for hiding corruption in that H file. If you get it, it'll open many doors, and there's open doors for others and me.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Herndon and Tracy. And I will talk to you all soon. Love both of you, and can't wait to get exonerated. Yes.
Thank you so much, everyone. We love you. We appreciate you.
All right. I will talk to y'all soon.
All right.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you.
for using all right, that security.
All right, everybody, that was the voice of Herndon Steele. Caroline, with some of the things that Herndon was saying about the case and about the witness, you know, the false witness and all that stuff, can you just chime in for a moment on what Herndon said about the case?
Yeah, I mean, this unfortunately is not something that's rare. As I'm finding with some of the cases I'm doing right now, they don't turn over all the evidence. They don't turn over evidence that would actually serve to exonerate or put considerable doubt in the case about the defendant for the jury to consider. And it happens over and over again. And what happens is we had a very, very corrupt police department. They're actually now in the PCRA petitions because they were found by a certain judge in Philadelphia to have a pattern and practice of corruption. That pattern and practice has been recognized. Not only that, but certain police officers have been indicted for the instances of misconduct that were discovered. The trouble is that there must have been tons of other instances of misconduct that couldn't be proved. So we do have a situation where the Philadelphia Police Department, you know, has gotten away with not turning over evidence and wrongfully incarcerating a bunch of people. I don't know if you know this statistic, but in Philadelphia, if you are black and innocent, you are 7.5 times more likely to be wrongly convicted than if you're white and innocent. And that is a terrible reflection on our city, on our city's police force. So I'm seeing in so many of these cases that there is this pattern and practice of coercing confessions, not handing over evidence, which Hannon was referring to as Brady violations, fabricating evidence, getting evidence out of very unreliable informants, not showing a proper photo array. I'm doing one case at the moment where there's three photos of my guy in the photo array. Three of the same person, my guy. And so, you know, it's just, it's horrendous, some of the things they got away with. And I'm just thanking God that Hernan's case has been blown open because of the H file. Sometimes they'll have got rid of the evidence altogether. And then it's much more difficult to prove that they did what they did, that the police officers, that is. So I'm just grateful that they did find in the H file, in his H file, evidence that was willfully not handed over and that can exonerate him. I'm so grateful for that. And for him to have gone through over 30 years in prison it's appalling. It's absolutely appalling. And I'm looking forward to celebrating with him and his family when he gets out.
Yes, 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 definitely. That's going to be a wonderful time. And, you know, so many others are going to be out this year as well due to the same issues with all this exculpatory evidence and, you know, the breaking of the Brady rules. So Brady violations across the board in so many cases is just ridiculous. So we're happy for you, Herndon and Tracy. We're definitely happy for you guys. All right, so now we are going to bring on Joe Green, who is running for judge of the Court of Common Pleas. We're going to bring him on and talk with him about his campaign. Joe, welcome to News Forum. How are you tonight?
All right. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you for coming on tonight. So before we talk about your campaign, let's talk about you. Okay. You are an attorney and now you're running for judge. But as an attorney, tell everybody what type of cases do you specialize in?
Okay. So let me start first by saying that I have been practicing for 17 years here in the city and county of Philadelphia, and also I'm barred in the state of New Jersey as well. I started my career as a criminal defense attorney. I have tried every type of case from homicide, sexual assaults, firearm cases, all the way down to traffic court. So on the criminal defense side, at some point my career led to me being an assistant district attorney in both Montgomery County and Philadelphia. I was assigned to the major crimes unit in Montgomery County, and I was also assigned to the major trials unit in Philadelphia County, and then ultimately I became the assistant chief of the diversion unit. The major trials unit pretty much prosecutes aggravated assaults, drug offenses, burglaries, things of that nature. So I have experience as a criminal defense attorney and both a prosecutor.
Okay, awesome. Okay, that's wonderful. And so you were also the former assistant DA in Montgomery County, also former assistant DA in Philadelphia, former social worker, and also you're a product of the Philadelphia school system, and you're an attorney. So that's great. And, you know, I am proud of you as a black man that went through the Philadelphia school system. And now, did you grew up in North Philly, 16th and Stiles?
Yes, I grew up in North Philadelphia, 16th and Stiles. That's right at 16th and Girard, in between 16th and Girard, and the next biggest street would be Thompson. So that area, that's where I grew up. Yes. And
now,
also,
the time go ahead, Joe.
Go ahead.
Okay, I was going to ask you now, do you mind answering how old you are?
Oh, yeah, I'm 51.
51, okay. All right, yeah. So as a man that has been here for 5 decades, growing up when you grew up, what has changed from then to now in the city of Philadelphia?
Just right off the bat, the level of respect and the erosion of our community. There is no sense of community. Whereas though when I was growing up, you had neighbors that would correct your bad behavior. We don't have that anymore. There was a level of respect in the community. I mean, growing up in North Philadelphia, it was almost like a rite of passage to, you know, use profanity. You know, kids want to use profanity and say wrong things, things of that nature. But you knew when you came upon an adult that was in your area that you would correct your behavior. And if an adult heard you using profanity, you know, they would correct you. And then they, you know, sometimes they smack you upside your head, and then they go tell your parents or whatever, and then your parents would check you. But now if that happens, you know, the parents get upset at the correction. So that's immediately apparent, like the erosion of our community. That's we don't have a community, so to speak, anymore.
So right, right.
Well, you don't even know your neighbors. So that's bad.
Yeah, definitely so, definitely so. So, yeah, things that definitely has changed a lot since when I was a child as well. Now, do you think any of that plays a role in the escalating gun violence in inner cities, especially here in Philadelphia?
Yes, because they're... So without that correction, right, there is no accountability, right? And then there is like an unwritten rule of no snitching or not to be involved in your community, whereas though the people who see crime, they turn a blind eye to it. And that's bad, right? So it plays a major part in our community. That's a major part of why we have so much gun violence, because there is no accountability. There is no accountability from the parental perspective. Oftentimes, there's no accountability from the community perspective. Everyone is turning a blind eye to it.
Yeah, that is so true. No one wants to speak up, and that's what really frustrates me so much, that, you know, people see what happened. They've seen it take place. They know who the shooter is, who the killer is, who the burglar is, or what have you, and they won't come forth. And, you know, a lot of people say that they don't want to talk because they're afraid of, you know, of being harmed or somebody finding out, you know, that they're the ones that so-called snitched or, you know, said they saw them kill somebody. And they think those people then are going to come and kill them or harm their families. So how can, you know, people that do come forth and say what they saw, how can they be guaranteed safety, protection from these horrible people out here in these streets? There's no guarantee for their safety. So what, as an attorney, what do you see, like, in that area, like, where people that do come forth, how are they protected?
Okay, so first, first we have to change the mindset of the people in the community, right? So we have to understand what snitching actually is, and I have to explain it this way. So snitching is, if two individuals agree to go out and commit a crime, right? So let's say two individuals agree to go rob a bank, right? And one of those individuals on the way out of the bank, he trips and falls. The other individual, he takes off in the car. He gets away. And he has the actual proceeds from the robbery, right? If the individual who gets arrested decides to tell on who his partner was in that criminal episode, that would be snitching, right? But let's say that there's a third party. Let's say that there's a third party that didn't have anything to do with the robbery whatsoever, right? That third individual who happens to see, let's say that individual was inside the bank, and he recognized the individual. And then he said, hey, I know that individual. His name is Johnny. And I know the other individual. His name is Sam. And he decides to tell. That's not snitching. That's being a responsible individual in your community to say that these two individuals committed a crime. Right? That's not snitching. That is being a witness to a crime. And that individual came forward and is speaking up to protect his community, his or her community. Now, so how do we assure that individual, that third-party individual, is protected? One, we have to change the mindset of what snitching is. There's nothing wrong with being a responsible individual in your community to make sure that the people in your community remain safe, that we're not going to tolerate crime in our community. That's the first thing. The second thing is, inside the district attorney's office, they have a unit that can assure that individuals are moved from one particular area of the city and moved somewhere else. Hold on, pardon me a second. And move to another, to relocate them, to try to keep them safe. But oftentimes what will happen is, if the district attorney's office moves those individuals will go back to the community that they were moved from, right? So you can't try to keep a person safe if, in fact, that they're going to continue to travel back to the dangerous area where they're speaking against. But there is a unit inside the DA's office that will move an individual for their particular safety.
Okay, awesome, awesome. Thank you for answering that. Now, with wrongful convictions, you know, there are so many wrongful convictions in the state of Pennsylvania, with the bulk of them right here in the city of Philadelphia. And as we've seen over the years since D.A. Crabtree has taken office, now in his second term, that, you know, so many have been exonerated. So what are your thoughts on wrongful convictions, and have you had any wrongful conviction cases during your law practice?
No, I haven't had any wrongful conviction cases during my law practice. I think that is the district attorney's office and also the police department's responsibility to turn over sound, decent, reliable, credible evidence in order to obtain convictions in the court of law. I think that it is a travesty if you run into a situation where the authorities didn't turn over what we call Brady material. But I can't speak to any particular case because I haven't had any case. Now, being a member of the district attorney's office, I know that, you know, being a member of the district attorney's office under D.A. Krasner, it was his policy to turn over all of discovery so that we don't run into that situation where a person can be wrongfully convicted.
Okay. Okay, awesome. Now, if you are... if you win your judicial seat as a judge of Court of Common Pleas, now, if there is a case that comes before you and you see that the evidence that's being presented is next to none, there are no real witnesses, there's no forensics, no DNA, nothing to tie the defendant to, let's say, a murder or a rape. As judge hearing this case, what would you do?
Okay, so I can't speak about the law, the ethical or the judicial canon wouldn't allow me to speak about particular cases and how I would handle it, right? But I will say this. There are witnesses that have to be presented. Credibility comes into play from witnesses. Regardless of actual what we may know as evidence, right? So a person can take the stand and they may not have any sound evidence as far as what a layperson would believe, let's say any paperwork or any rape kit or something of that nature, but a person can take the stand and still have credibility, right? And that comes into play. So I can't speak about any particular case on how I would rule, but there are a number of facets that all come into play when you sit and listen to the evidence as it's presented. That's why the courtroom is designed the way it is, so you can look and see and judge the demeanor of a person that is testifying. While there may not, well, there may not be any physical evidence, while it may not be any rape kit or things of that nature, there's still credibility in what comes out of that witness's mouth, right? So you have to sit and listen to the evidence and the facts as it's presented in the courtroom. So, but I can't say how I would rule on any particular case.
Okay. It's fair enough. All right. Thanks for answering that question. Now, as a prosecutor working both sides of the fence, as a defense attorney and as a prosecutor, which side of the fence did you like better?
Well, I will say this. I would like to say that I was progressive before this progressive movement came about. I never had the intent to become a lawyer to make money. I had the intent to become a lawyer to work in the field of human services for those people who need it, whether it be as a criminal defense attorney or whether it be as a prosecutor. Oftentimes, as a defense attorney, you don't get to make those judgment calls when it comes to what kind of case is going to be presented, whether a person is going to be charged with a felony of the first degree or a felony of the second degree on down the line. So I thought that my services would be better served if I went to the prosecution side. Now I actually get to make that judgment call in line with the law of how a case should be presented, how an individual is charged, how an individual is treated. So I enjoy the prosecution side because I'm fair, and I treat defendants with respect. I fight for the victim as well. So I enjoy the prosecution side very much because I get to defend the rights of victims that have been violated. I grew up here in the city. I had numerous family members that have fallen victim to homicide, that have been murdered here in the city. So I understand what it's like to be a victim in this city as well. But I like the prosecution side better than the criminal defense side.
Okay. And the last question I have for you tonight, Joe, you're a prosecutor, and now you're running for judge. What are your thoughts on prosecutorial misconduct and judicial misconduct and judicial biases in the courtroom? Do you feel as though prosecutors as well as judges should be held accountable?
Oh, absolutely. And there are laws and their policies and procedures inside the district attorney's office. There are rules of ethics. And everyone brings with them their life experience as it relates to the particular side that they're practicing, both prosecutors and criminal defense attorneys and judges as well. We all take our life experience into the courtroom. What I think is important is that you have an individual that is well-rounded, well-versed on the law, that has good life experience, and doesn't have a stake in the fire. Judges are supposed to be fair and impartial. Prosecutors are supposed to seek justice without any prosecutorial misconduct, and criminal defense attorneys are to protect the rights of defendants and make sure that the prosecutor proves his case beyond a reasonable doubt. And we all have, in the legal profession as lawyers, we all have a job to do. So with that said, I don't think that there's room for prosecutorial misconduct. I don't think that there's room for judicial misconduct. I mean, we need a level of civility from judges to understand that when defendants come in the courtroom, that they already have a certain level of anxiety and stress, as well as the defense attorney that's representing them, as well as the victim that has been violated. And I think that goes a long way.
Okay. Thank you so much for answering that. And I said that was my last question for you. I do have one more, and this is the last one. As far as the men and women that have been wronged by this criminal injustice system is what I call it, those that have been wronged and have served wrongful convictions and have now been exonerated, do you feel as though those men and women are deserving of some type of compensation package?
Well, we can look to what's already been done. Those individuals who have been exonerated, there have been some monetary awards if they take up a civil case against the city or the prosecutor's office or whoever or whatever agency that put them in the situation where they were wrongfully convicted. So you can look to what has already been done, and I believe the law allows for it. And if the law allows for it, then we follow the letter of the law.
Okay. Well, right now here in the state of Pennsylvania, there's no compensation bill. There's never been one. So exonerees are not compensated by the state currently. Those that have been able to file a civil lawsuit that was due to corrupt police officers, planting evidence, withholding exculpatory evidence, and different things in that nature, and they were able to file a civil lawsuit. And here in the state of Pennsylvania, I think there's only been, I think, four that have successfully filed and won a civil lawsuit. Right mm-hmm. now, there are, I believe now there are about 105 exonerees here in the state of Pennsylvania. And so all of those other exonerees, they have not been compensated because there is no bill here. And we're only one of 12 states without a compensation package. What do you think about that?
Well, that's a question for the legislature. That's not a question for the judicial branch. That's the legislative branch that will ultimately handle
it. Okay.
That.
Well, let me clarify my question. I'm not now asking you, as an attorney or as a judge. I'm asking you just as a man. What are your thoughts on Pennsylvania not having a compensation bill to pay these exonerees for the decades that they spent wrongfully behind bars? Do you feel as though Pennsylvania should have a compensation package for these exonerees, or do you feel that they should not?
I believe that there should be some compensation, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you so much. All right. Thank you, everybody. This is Joe Green. He's running for judge for the Court of Common Pleas. Election day is May 16th. If you're not registered to vote, please get registered. And go out and vote. Get that vote out on May 16th, which is always on a Tuesday. Is election day always a Tuesday, everybody? This is the primary election, so please get out and vote. Thank you so much, Joe. And we're going to ask you all, if you have any questions tonight for Joe or any of the other guests tonight, please press 1. And when we open up the phone lines, we will try our best to get to you to ask your questions or to say something in support of these candidates tonight. Thank you so much, Joe. And just stay on the line in case someone has a question for you. Okay, right now, we're going to speak with Jamal in a moment. But before we bring Jamal on, we're going to play a song that's going to take those of you who are like in the 50-plus age group, okay, it's going to take you back a bit, and even for some of you in your 40s as well. But this is what's going on today. It was going on yesterday, and it will continue to go on until we do something about it. So take a listen to this stand-up song.
So listen causes havoc, tragic conflict, others sent to the grave by automatics, rifle by crews that are hostile organization, drug transactors act on intimidation, women, men solid, children disregarded, what's the keys of it, what's the cause of it, let me know. 13, she's turned out, she blew her brains out, I guess she couldn't take it no more, like the expression goes, knocking on heaven's door, from the looks of it, I guess she got it. Type of thing happens over and over again. Every city, even across the world, women leaving children on the front door. Parents are hung, strung out on cook flow, throwing the children out of tin-story window. Where's the love, sympathy, feelings of mercy? We're ditching the right to get the child the death penalty. Gang violence, can I get a witness? Used to be knives, now Stevie's and Mac 10, Tech 9, 12 gauge, pumps and 38. Stop the madness before it gets too late. Strive for a better cause, try to find yourself. The rest of the world is lost, cause you're the new generation, the future. Set an example, brothers and sisters, dropping out of school, thinking it's cool to sell drugs. Pushing those deadly tools, which others in class, we used to pass cool notes. Others are fiends now, hustling the usual. Not a rap song, I wish I could say that, but it's the stuff that they sell in the Val Cap. Well, let me pause for a moment while I mention.
This is the test of the emergency broadcasting system, makes your place. Your race, cause it's a damn disgrace.
Stand up,
take your place. Protect the race, cause it's a damn disgrace.
Stand up,
take your place. Protect your race, cause it's a damn disgrace.
Stand up, take your place.
Destruction, creation, they begin to know the devastation, bodies are mutilated, the earth dies, not a soul survives, only body lies, the O-N-E, they count casually, no more life, and the every living human being, flesh, ripped from the bone, earth's a death zone, this reality, none of what TV's shown, what about the child without a chance to live, who never knew the words positive, how could they love for when their hearts are torn, minutes the baby's born, the next day the earth's gone, fight, not a pretty sight, so I'm getting hyped. Yo, I gotta do it right. Again, releasing my tension while I mention this is a test of the emergency broadcasting system.
Take your place,
protect your race, cause it's a damn disgrace.
Stand up,
take your place. Protect the race, cause it's a damn disgrace.
Stand up,
take your place. Protect your race, cause it's a damn disgrace.
Stand up, take your place. Protect your race,
cause it's a damn disgrace. Remember the time when you could play on the block, play football while the girls play double dutch. After dinner, cool out with the team, wait for Mr. Softy to bring the ice cream. Standing in line, next for the order, smile on your face while you dig for your cutter. Got your ice cream, you sit on the step, wait for your friends who hasn't got this yet. Everyone's happy, we're having a ball. Mom's on the porch, she's watching us all. You see, it don't matter if related to each other. In the neighborhood, we look out for one another. Damn, how times have changed. The old neighborhood don't even look the same. People walk around, eat out of the trash. They have no cash and no place to crash. Mothers on crack, black, yellow, and white. Kids run the streets all day and night. People getting shot, killings won't stop. Another drug dealer just moved on your block. Policeman still dead. Poor man must stay. Rich get richer. Don't give a damn anyway. That's the way it is, I hate to say. We got to fight for a better way.
Shut up.
All right, everybody. That was Stand Up. That song was written, arranged, and composed by Pennsylvania historical exoneree Vincent Moto. And he's actually the singer, rapper of that song, and I am, joined the background. And it's called Stand Up, and it says take your place, okay, protect your race. And those of you who are not doing it, he says it's a damn disgrace, all right? So we have to stand up today, and there's not enough of us standing up and doing what's right. So we're going to go ahead and take a caller before we bring on Jamal Johnson, SKU. Right after this caller, we're going to bring on Jamal. Caller, you're live on the Edward News Forum. How are you tonight?
Hello?
Caller, you're live on the air.
Hey, Chinchilla. How are you?
Hey, Angela, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm just sitting here, just listening. Like, I so appreciate you and all that you do for everybody. Like, you touch so many people, and you give so many people an opportunity to share their story. I'm listening. Like, I'm not in Pennsylvania, but I got family in Philadelphia. Like, it's just, I'm just amazed at how individuals can be in prison for stuff that they have not done, wrongfully and overly incarcerated for years and years and years. We're not talking about 5-6 years. We're not talking about just 10 years. We're talking about 20, 30 years. Like, they in their 60s, and they have, like, we don't know, like, we're not going to live forever, but people act like we just going to live forever and that we can just go on with life. No, you've altered so many people's lives because of your zealousness, whatever your reason is for what you're doing to do this to people, because it's too many people. Like you say, 100 people have not received anything, no kind of compensation. When the state of Texas, they get like 80,000. That's nothing, because you can never put a price on somebody's life. And that's what they're doing. It's all about the dollars. And if people don't wake up, like, I don't understand how you can Google corruption in Texas and all kind of stuff pop up, but ain't nobody doing nothing about it. It's like they just sitting there. Like, man, I ain't even going to call these people names. It's crazy. And I'm just sitting here listening. Like, I'm sitting here listening to, man, it just don't make no sense. Like, I appreciate you so much because you bringing so much to light. And, like, people got to wake up. They got to take in. They got not only take in what you giving us, but they got to do something about it. You can't continue to allow any and everything to go on around you. You got to be that change that you want to see. I appreciate you so much. Like, words can't even express, for real, though. Man, I appreciate you so much.
I definitely appreciate you too as well.
If it wasn't for Brother O, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. So I thank him for just being obedient and not, man, he just don't understand. I love y'all. I'm about to get out of here because I know you got so many people that want to talk. But, like, you got to be the change that you want to see because everybody, it's like everybody for themselves. Ain't nobody, we say we for the people, but when we get in the place where we can be that change, it's like we don't be that change. Like, it's time out for that. Playtime is over. And people better wake up.
Yeah. Exactly.
I love you. Good night.
Yes, indeed. I love you too, Angela. And Angela is a host on this network as well, everybody. Her show is called Walking in Purpose with Angela Thomas Smith. And I want to congratulate her because she has reached something very, very awesome. She has been nominated to the International Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting nominee. So she's been nominated to class of 2023. And so we're just waiting to see, as these months go on, if she becomes the enshrinee for the Internet Radio Hall of Fame. So congratulations, Angela Thomas-Smith, a wonderful woman with great compassion for people. Thank you so much for calling in tonight. All right, right now we are going to bring on Jamal Johnson, SKU. SKU stands for Stop Killing Us. Jamal has been a guest here on News Forum numerous times talking about the senseless gun violence in the city of Philadelphia and around this country. And this year marked his 7th annual march to Washington, D.C. And, oh, Caroline, I love you. Caroline has to hop off, everybody. Just want you all to know she has to hop off. She has court early in the morning and depositions. So thank you so much, Caroline. I love you. So this marks his 7th annual march to Washington, D.C., to fight against this gun violence here in Philadelphia. And Jamal says this was his 7th and final march. And, you know, the number 7 is the number of completion. But we'll see. Hopefully, the gun violence will start to decrease and the citizens of this city will start to come together to fight against it, as we should, because this is our city, these are our communities and our neighborhoods, and we need to do something about it. So, Jamal, how are you tonight? And welcome again to News Forum.
I'm well. How are you?
I'm fine, Jamal. So, before we get into, like, this week, this past week and this weekend and what's happened here in the city of Philadelphia, let's talk about your 7th annual march. How did that go this year?
Well, first of all, we kind of missed you since you didn't come to this one. You did go to the last one.
Oh, I know. I missed y'all, too. I came that first day, everybody, and then after that I could not go because I had all this other stuff on my schedule, and I hate I missed it. I really do. I hate I missed this one. So tell us all about that journey this year, Jamal.
It was pretty good. We left on my birthday on March the 10th, and we took it on down, as you know, the path down to D.C. Nothing's changed in reference to the road. The weather was pretty bleak at first. Then it's starting to brighten up. A lot of chilly days. Myself, Mark, and Jen were together the whole time through. You met them the last time you were there, I believe. At least you met Jen,
yes.
I believe.
Yes.
And now the thing with this one, the reason it was a success this time as opposed to the other times is because despite my, request to the Congressional Black Caucus for a meeting, as in the past, they were pretty well ignored. And this time, I went without an appointment or anything and actually succeeded in what I've been trying to do for the last 6 years. And
wow.
I just presented myself to the chairman's office, and his deputy chief of staff happened to be there when I was speaking to the secretary about my purpose for coming up. And then he put me in touch with the executive director, who had actually written to me a couple weeks prior and said that he would contact me, which he never did. And so he told me he would make sure that he contacted me and that we would go forward. And prior to me leaving the building, he actually called and contacted me. And I expected that we would set a meeting up for possibly the end of the march. This was on, I believe this was a Monday or so, and the march, or Wednesday, and the march wasn't supposed to end until Friday. But the executive director actually called me. I believe his name is Vince Evans, and he said, let's meet now. And I was pretty surprised at that. And we sat and we spoke for quite some time. And I let him know about the history of the march, and the history being that it started in 2017, and it started with the priority being addressing police brutality, with the gun violence being a secondary issue. And then about 2 years later, the gun violence exceeded the numbers prior, so that became the issue, and the police brutality became a secondary issue. But during these marches, we've always presented the Black Caucus with a list of standards in reference to police reform. And we had an audience the second year, and we presented those to the office of the chairman of Congressional Black Caucus, and we never heard anything back. And then unfortunately, we kept doing it every year. And unfortunately, we had the death of George Floyd. And a lot of the things that have become part of the George Floyd bill were also items that we presented to them before George Floyd was even killed. Same thing goes with Tyre Nichols in Memphis. These things were put before them before he was killed, before Breonna Taylor was killed. But we didn't get any response and any traction in what we were trying to do. It may have possibly, if they had given it some serious thought, it may have helped. Anyway, we spoke to the executive director. He started outlining all the things they had done in reference to police reform. Some I knew, some I didn't know. And, in fact, many of them I didn't know. He agreed that there's a communication problem with getting information out to the constituents about what they are doing. And I told him that's one reason why we've been making this yearly march, to find out what they are doing and to see what we can do to help. So in the area of police reform, there were quite a few items that he listed. In the area of gun violence, he basically spoke on a legislative level, you know, of getting laws passed to address gun ownership and things like that, which I'm sure a lot of us are familiar with. So he also said that he was going to allow us being Philadelphia, be a part of a network that has been formed already across the nation to address the gun violence issue and the police reform issue. And to my knowledge, if I remember correctly, he said they didn't have anyone from Philadelphia in that network right now. He indicated that they've only been in office for a short while, the session, but in that amount of time, they've done a lot in reference to the police reform issue. Not so much as the gun violence on our streets. And so I told him that, you know, some of the things I've done at home and some of the things that I think that we could possibly contribute to solutions. So it was a very long, lengthy conversation. It was a very informative one. I'm looking forward to when they arrive back from the Easter session, back to D.C., and I expect to be in communication with them then. And then at that time, I hope that we will all be productive in trying to address the gun violence and the police reform issue.
Wow. Thank you so much for giving us that update, Jamal. And that's so wonderful. You know, it took 7 years, you know, the number of completion for them to finally meet with you. And that is excellent. Everybody, as you can see, perseverance is key. Dedication is key. No matter what you're doing, you know, don't give up. Jamal went there, marched there year after year after year after year after year after year. And, you know, finally, he had that meeting with the Congressional Black Caucus. And that is awesome. And what you've been doing, Jamal, is so great. And that doesn't stop the work that he's doing here in Philadelphia, because he's still out. Every time someone is shot or killed, he's out on that corner where it took place, protesting and holding his signs. And, you know, his buddies, James is with them most of the time, and King Baby Blue and others have been popping up at different sites, and that is wonderful. Jamal, now let's talk about this year, okay? Today is April 9th, and we already have, I believe when I last looked, I think it was like 112, but anyway, update us on those numbers. Give us the statistics now, because I know people have died today. There's been more shootings. So let's just talk about the numbers, where we are in gun deaths this year and shootings. And then let's talk about this weekend, what just happened this weekend. So right now, where do we stand as far as gun deaths for 2023?
Well, unofficially in Philadelphia, we are about 112 homicides. The latest one, to my knowledge, being this morning in West Philadelphia. And yes, we're about 17% lower than last year this time, which, you know, we hear about all the time from the news and the politicians. But that really is not even a dent when you think about the fact that we still have over 100 people that have been killed in this city in the first 4 months. And we're just beginning April. So, you know, it's nothing to me, it's nothing to tout about. And also the fact that people are still being shot on our streets every day. This past week, we had, a 62-year-old woman shot, a 14-year-old girl shot, and a 12-year-old girl shot, I believe. So, I mean, people are still being shot on our streets every single day of the week. And all these people could have been homicides. And that's what people have to realize. It doesn't matter if it's one or two people who get shot. Those one or two people could have been a homicide. That's why we have to stop this killing that's going on in our streets. And I still believe we are not exhausting all our efforts that we could do. And I'm hoping that those who are running for office realize that this is a very serious issue, whether we are expressing it well enough or not.
Okay. Thanks so much, Jamal. Now, with all the gun violence, you know, you said the officials are saying it's about 17% lower. I know I think it was a couple of weeks ago it was 13% decrease from last year. And, you know, which is good. It's a decrease in homicides. But these shootings, you know, they're every day now. There's mass shootings here because they're shootings that are the same shootings that are shooting two or more people. And anytime two or more people are shot, it's considered a mass shooting. And that's been happening regularly here in Philadelphia, and it's a sad thing. But now let's talk about the mayoral race for a moment, because, you know, earlier I heard that Maria Quinones Sanchez dropped out of the race for mayor. You know, she was a council person, everybody. I think for the past 12 or 13 years, she's been a councilwoman, and she resigned to run for mayor. And so at the same time that Derek Green resigned from council to run for mayor, but now Maria Quinones has dropped out of the race, and she said it's due to the monetary gains that the other candidates are bringing in. I think her campaign brought in a little over $800,000, but you have candidates like Alan Dobb, okay, who has brought in well over $1 million, a few million dollars he's brought in, because I think he spent, I think, maybe $2 million of his own money that he gave to his campaign. And then we have Jeff Brown, who is the owner of the Browns ShopRites here. He has well over $1 million in his campaign. And then we have other people that are raising big bucks, like Amon Brown. He's backed by some Republicans and other people with corporations. Even people from New York are backing him and throwing money his way. And so Maria said that she cannot compete and keep up with all the money that they're raising, you know, which, you know, I don't think she would have made a good mayor anyway. So I think that's great that she has dropped out of the race. But that still leaves 10 people still running for mayor here in the city of Philadelphia, everybody, which is so crazy. Sherelle Parker, she's one of the top contenders right now, along with Alan Dobb and Jeff Brown. And, you know, it's a crazy thing. And then we have Rebecca Reinhart, who is the city controller. She's running for mayor. And Alan Dom, people who don't know him, he, you know, is a real estate guru here, and he develops these properties here in this city, you know, and, you know, he's been doing gentrification in this city, and, you know, he's a city council member, you know, he was. And then Sherelle Parker also, You know, so we have these individuals running. And right now, oh, and also Helen Gim, who was the counselor at large here in the city of Philadelphia, she's also running. And she's supposed to be a top contender. Out of those people, Jamal, who do you feel as though now, I know we talked about this a few months ago before they actually started campaigning, because none of them had their petitions signed yet. So since all that's done and they're actively campaigning, who do you feel as though would be the best suitable person for mayor in the city?
Well, I'll say this. I'll reserve that for the moment. But I will say that a few of them I have had personal relationships with in reference to the gun violence issue. You know, they have actually come out, stood on the corners with us. At least one of them have come out when I did the strike against Mayor Kenney a couple of years ago outside City Hall. The majority of them I have not had any interactions with in reference to the gun violence issue, despite how much I and others have been strenuously trying to seek allies in this fight. So, you know, it would be disingenuous of me to say that I know what people really have put forth when, if I haven't seen them put forth anything in reference to the gun violence issue, except maybe talk in commercials. When it comes to being on the street and actually being involved and interacting with myself and other activists on this issue, there are probably two or three that I really have to say that, you know, I truly respect and honor the efforts they've made in the past few years since I've been trying to do this also. But as a whole, I do think that people need to realize that this issue is not going to, as far as I'm concerned, gun violence is going to ebb and flow. You know, we'll go up and we'll come down, and we'll go up and we'll come down. And I don't think we should ever think that we've got a grasp on it just because we get a law for a few weeks. So that's the same for these candidates. They can claim that they're going to do things, but you can best believe if they don't have a track record of addressing this issue where you have seen it, where I have seen it, then I think we can use that as an indicator of what is going to be happening in the future.
All right. That sounds good. Yeah, because I'm kind of up in the air right now as well. I don't know who I favor at this point, and that's why we're going to have them on. I'm going to be having them come on to News Forum, and we're going to also do a podcast with the mayoral oral candidates. And on the 20th of this month, we're having a forum, the Pennsylvania Association of Black Journalists, or the Philadelphia Association of Black Journalists, where we're going to be hearing from all of the mayoral candidates, and that should be pretty interesting. But people, there are forums that are happening all over the city. You need to tap into some of them. Some of them are closed to the public and broadcast on TV, and then some are open forums where anybody can attend. So you need to learn about these candidates so you can effectively vote for your candidate of choice, because this is a crucial race for mayor. We cannot have another Mayor Kenney in office. We need a mayor that's going to fight for the city, fight for its citizens, and do what's right and bring resources that are necessary and needed for this city. And we need a mayor that's going to be strong and courageous and speak up and stand up for what's right, and not one that can be brought or silenced. So keep those things in mind, everybody. So Jamal, I thank you so much for coming on tonight, and definitely you'll be back on again as we get closer to election day. And when these candidates come on, I would like for you to be a part as well. If you have any questions that you want to ask them. So thank you so much, Jamal. All right. So everybody, I want to make mention. So Big Beard's Barbershop, and I think earlier I might have called it Black Beard. anyway, Big Beard's Barbershop, Valentino is the owner of that, Valentino Howell, who had a petition signing party for candidates, and Caroline and I attended that, and it was wonderful. And she is having another campaigning party for some candidates, and Joe Green is going to be a part of that. I think Cindy Bass and Kawi Abdul-Rahman is going to be part of that. And Kawi was on earlier. He had to pray at the masjid, so I'm not sure if he's going to be able to get back on or not tonight. If not, we will have him on next week. And so we do understand that, Kawi, if you're not back on. And we will give you time next week, because right now we don't really have time right now anyway because of the lateness of the hour. But I thank you so much, Joe. And Joe, with what you heard Jamal saying about the gun violence and all, what are your thoughts on what he talks about? Joe, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. So what are your thoughts about things Jamal said about the gun violence in this city and what the Congressional Black Caucus, you know, the things that he discussed with them and what should happen here in this city? What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, as far as the gun violence is concerned, again, I go back to the word accountability. First, as parents, we have to know, as far as the individuals carrying guns from 18 to 24, those individuals that still live at home with their parents, we have to be diligent as parents and take accountability for our kids and make sure that they're not carrying firearms illegally.
Right.
Next is part of the community. We need to take a stand as far as individuals in our community, men in the communities that know individuals that are carrying firearms. We have to be strong enough to stand up and say that it's not going to be tolerated, the gun violence in the community. And we have to be willing to come to court and testify against those individuals who are committing crimes with guns. This gun epidemic didn't happen overnight, and it's going to take some time, to get control of it. But we have to be diligent about it, and we have to come up with ways to eradicate it. I don't know specifically what that looks like. It may be men in the community, getting out doing bike rides at night, from a certain time to a certain time. Like, we have to come up with ways to combat this issue, and we have to collectively sit down and think about it. It's a new day and age. Like, our children now have ways to get in contact with each other. And what are we doing to get in contact with each other to make sure that we can continue to parent them? Like, children are on Instagram and all this social media and things of that nature.
Yeah.
And they can get 100 kids together to meet downtown to wreak havoc downtown. But what are we doing as adults to monitor that, to be up on the behavior that's about to be presented, to get in front of it? So we have to be mindful of things of that nature. And we have to be just as intelligent as they are putting it together. We have to be just as intelligent to combat it. We need to have laws on the books to try to stop these guns from coming into our communities. And then ultimately it's about choices. It's about choices that these kids are making to pick up a firearm. Why do they feel the need to pick up a firearm? When I was growing up, here in the city, there was always several people on the block that you can say, oh, don't mess, you know, don't mess with Case because he know how to hold his hands. Or don't mess with Bear Bear because he know how to hold his hands. But we don't hear things like that no more. The minute someone,
right,
you know, the minute someone gets into a fist fight, the next thing you know is gunplay. So
yep,
we have to get out of that mindset. And that mindset, how we get rid of it is going to take collectively the parents, the community, the schools, the churches, the mosque. We all have to become a part of it to get rid of it. And it has to be, we all have to speak the same language at the same time.
Yes, that is so true. We all have to come together to combat this, since this gun violence is ridiculous. And yes, parents are to blame and they need to do better. And it's just so ridiculous, Joe. I thank you so much. You know, you said about laws need to be put in place to stop the guns from coming in. That is so true as well. And holding these gun shop owners accountable as well for selling guns to people they know don't qualify for a gun and should not have a gun. And, you know, there's a lot of things that need to take place in this city to make it safe again. And, you know, for people to allow their kids to go out and play and all of that stuff is so sad. I am just grateful and thankful I did not grow up as a child in this day and age. You know, it's just sad. It's very sad. Everybody, I want to also mention that song Stand Up. If you want to purchase a download of that song, you'll get that song along with the After Innocence soundtrack by cash apping $MagicMan2017. That's $MagicMan2017. And I also want to remind you all that you can donate to Be a Voice and Right the Wrong Coalition to help us continue our advocacy work, okay, fighting for the wrongfully incarcerated and those that are in prison that are over-sentenced, ending mass incarceration and fighting for juvenile lifers to come home, those that deserve to come home, that is, okay, because all of them don't deserve to come home. Some of them deserve to stay right where they are, okay? So with that being said, if you want to donate, the Cash App is $ Be a Voice. That's $BEAVOICETOUR. Be a Voice Tour. The Venmo account, if you have Venmo, is Be a Voice. Okay? If you don't have any of those and you want to donate via credit card, you can call the office 844-642-8378, extension 888. Again, 844-642-8378, extension 888 or 111. Or you can inbox me on Facebook at Chinchilla Jonesia, or visit the Mike, M-I-C, Test, T-E-S-T, Entertainment TV's Facebook page. And if you have a problem with Cash App, call me, inbox me, let me know. And you may have to send me your Cash App hashtag or Cash Tag, whatever it's called, and the amount you're trying to donate, and we will have to send you a request for that amount. All right, we're going to take a caller. Caller, you're live on air with News Forum. How are you tonight?
Hi, how about yourself? Hi, I'm doing fine. How about
yourself?
I am
fine.
This is why
I am fine. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Chinchilla, for doing this show. I'm listening very intently, and I like what Joe Green said and the others. I had a chance to meet with him and meet with quite a few candidates. What I really like about him is he has the guts to tell the truth. It doesn't have to be pretty, but it does have to be truthful if we're going to solve this problem. And he said something very important that I haven't heard any other candidate say. And I've gone to about 8 different mayor forums, and I've interviewed some of these people myself on more than one occasion, and no one wants to say that word or that elephant in the room, parent accountability. I guess they're afraid to lose votes because of that.
But everything starts at home. Yes, we have to get good people in position to be in court and to be judges. So people like Green and Rahman and Carolyn and Rainey and some others, Natasha, Tamika, they all are deserving to represent us. But it starts at home, and we have to hold these parents accountable. I don't think that if it was something on the book that says, hey, if your child does X, Y, Z, and they're caught, like the incident we had downtown, the first time is $1,000 fine, the second time is $5. I don't think the kids would be doing that because they know they would have to answer to someone. And the parents would be more accountable to know where your kids are. You have to. You know, it's not other people's jobs to raise them, unfortunately. And we're in a crisis, so we need everybody to do their part. I thank you for the show. That's all I wanted to say. I have a show coming up this Friday. I know I'm supposed to say that. Thank you, Brother O, for the opportunity because I enjoy it very much, listening and being a part of what you all are doing. I'm very appreciative. So I will see or talk to everyone on Friday at 9:30. But I thank you for this show, Dr. Chinchilla, for bringing on these wonderful people. Thank you.
All right. Well, it is my time, and I want to thank all the folks out there who count that robbery. I've been saying this since 2013. I don't know how many people have heard me constantly say this. Do you know where your children are right now? I've been saying that since March of 13. More than 10 years later, right? Parents should be accountable at all times. And I guarantee you that if parents start getting time for these, you know, these children who are doing devious things, mischievous things, they might put a dent in things. But you know what the problem is? We have absentee parents that probably won't even pay the fines because they're probably criminals themselves. And the problem right now with the children, they're not being reared in the right ways. I love what the brother Jamal does on a constant basis. He is not a coward. And I've been saying this many times on this show as well as other shows I've hosted myself on one of my shows called, I'm a Stand-Up Guy. We talked about the cowardness of the old heads, the OGs. How dare you not go outside when a child that you knew grew up, I'm talking from the cradle into, you know, adolescence, and he gets shot, she gets shot, and there's not an uproar. I don't care what time of night it is. Everybody should be like, what happened? What happened? What happened? What happened? Everybody should be talking about it. Well, you know, I go on my editorial. I think Dr. J did a great job, and I'm going to tell you the reason why. Well, she did tonight. It's historic. She's only the third host in the history of this network to surpass 80 all-time connection records. Tonight she ties the outstanding 2018 NFL Radio Hall of Fame broadcasted enshrining Ms. Andrea Presley as the second person to have 80 all-time and tied for second. The other person that has 80 and his next show, hopefully he'll have 90, will be the great Huni Bakatun. So congratulations to the 2022 WBNN Host of the Year, the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J on her 80th all-time special record at WBNN. We have advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia. We're at Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter at Ngozi_time. Also, Ola Gully Malewa Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments and suggestions to our wonderful program tonight? Ola De Leda Ngozi with my gmail.com. And I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Ola Gully Malewa Ngozi, saying goodnight and good love to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio that support us on a constant basis. And now back to our fifth reigning commissioner of WBNN, the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
All right. Thank you so much, Brother O. And I want to thank my guest tonight, Joe Green, the judicial candidate for Quarter Common Pleas Court. So definitely, people, check him out. You know, go and vote on May 16th. You want to vote for Caroline Turner and also Ronnie and Major. all friends of mine, you know, wonderful people. And next week we're going to have Kawi Abdul-Rahman on next week, and as well as a couple other candidates. And then later on this month, we're going to have our mayoral candidates coming on. Okay, there's 10 of them. So they're all not going to be on at the same time, everybody. We're going to have on maybe three each week or something like that, because you need to hear from them. We want to know what they plan on doing to run this city effectively and with integrity. Okay? So, again, thank you so much, Joe. Thank you, Jamal. Jamal Johnson, SKU, the Marine veteran and activist fighting against the census gun violence in Philadelphia. Thank you so much, guys. And, of course, thank you, Caroline Turner, who's here every week with me. Thank you so much. Thank you all for listening in tonight. Definitely tune in next week. And this upcoming week podcast on Mike Test Entertainment TV, you want to make sure you look at that page so you can know what day the podcast is going to be. I am not sure which day yet. It's either going to be Wednesday or Thursday, but definitely keep an eye out. Make sure you like and follow that page, Mike, M-I-C, Test, T-E-S-T, Entertainment TV. Like and follow that page so you can know what's going on. And we're also having Meet the Host this Friday with Wanda Walker. She's going to be the next person that's going to be interviewed on Meet the Host. And that is a WBNN host, okay? That's who's on Meet the Host, WBNN host. So you get to meet Wanda Walker up close and in person, virtually, that is. So she will be on, and you're going to hear from her, find out all about her. And right now she's still an intern, but we're looking forward to her becoming a full-fledged host here on WBNN. All right, everybody, I am Chinchilla J, and I want to remind you to always, 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 people, remember to be a voice on purpose, stand up for your rights, do something, speak up, speak out, do not sit quietly. And yes, parents, as I always say as well, need to be held accountable because you allow your children to run over you, run over their teachers, run over all adults without any consequences because you're not whooping their behinds and because you are afraid of them. And some of you just don't give a hootin' and nanny what your child is doing because you're doing your own thing. And your thing does not consist of parenting. I'm Chinchilla J, everybody. See you next week. Be a voice on purpose. Take a listen, everybody.
Would you like to donate to a good cause? Well, Right the Wrong Coalition and Be a Voice could use your support. Help them continue to expand their advocacy work for justice as they fight for freedom, for the wrongfully incarcerated, exoneration, compensation, and juvenile lifers, as they stand and fight against mass incarceration, over-sentencing, wrongful convictions, gentrification, racial inequities, racism, and to change legislation throughout this country by rebirthing this criminal justice system one city at a time through their model, Criminal Justice Reborn. You may donate to Be a Voice via Cash App, $ Be a Voice Tour, that's capital B-E-A-V-O-I-C-E, lowercase T-O-U-R. You may also donate via Venmo at www.venmo.com/u/BEAVOICE. venmo.com/u/BAVOICE. For more information or to find out how to become a part of Be a Voice or join Right the Wrong Coalition, dial 844-642-7222. 8378, extension 111. If you would like to be a guest on News Forum and have a case of injustice, please give me a call Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. 428378 to tell me about your story. And you might just be News Forum's next special guest.